Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 323 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. All right, well, we're going to talk a little volleyball later on as one of the stars of the Ankeny Centennial team. We'll discuss the Jaguars' quest to win a state title next week in Coralville. But right now, we're going to preview the Class 5A football playoffs with two of the state's best running backs. Leading off is a senior from Ankeny Centennial who has helped the Jaguars to a 5-4 record. He has rushed for 1,050 yards this season, which ranks 7th in Class 5A. His 16 rushing TDs rank 2nd in 5A, and his average of 10.4 yards per carry leads 5A. He is J.J. Morgan. J.J., thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, you guys have had some ups and downs this season. You've had to deal with a lot of injuries, but your team wrapped up a playoff berth last Friday with a 49-7 victory over Sioux City North. You ran for 66 yards and 2 touchdowns on just 3 carries, and you also caught a 60-yard touchdown pass in the win. Your team was 15th in the final RPI rankings, but you moved up a spot to 14th based on your head-to-head win over Indianola, and that resulted in a first-round matchup at number 3 Johnston on Friday. But you guys showed, you know, 2 years ago when you entered the playoffs as a lower seed, and then you won on the road at Waukee Northwest and Bettendorf, that you don't have to be a high seed to reach the Uni Dome, do you? You know, all you need is a shot, right?
Yes, sir. That's all you need.
Well, before we break down the game at Johnston, I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on the regular season. You guys posted a 33-15 win over Indianola in Week 7, and that ended up being the difference in those rankings. And I know co-head coach Ryan Pizzetti also felt like you guys played really well at times, even in your losses to teams like Valley and Dowling Catholic. Do you think you guys have shown that you can play with anybody when you're clicking on all cylinders?
Yeah, I think we've definitely shown that we can stand with anybody there is. You know, it's all about executing plays and just getting out there and showing what you can do. You know, I've seen, like, we've progressed massively from start of season to the end. So I think we're gelling at the right time, you know, making the right moves at the right time.
Well, your team came into the season with only a handful of returning starters, and there were certainly some question marks about the quarterback position, but sophomore Brecken Miller eventually emerged as the starter there, and he's now completed 74 of 124 passes for 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns while throwing just 4 interceptions. What can you say about his development this season?
Brecken, he's doing good. He's an outstanding quarterback. You know, as a young guy, I etch him to, you know, there's never too much that you could learn. Always learn that there's something you do better every single time. So the way he's so young, you know, there's so much time to develop. And, you know, I would really love to see, you know, what he can do when he's senior.
Well, you actually lead the team in receptions as well with 20, and those catches have resulted in 216 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns. Do you take a lot of pride in your ability to catch the ball out of the backfield as well?
Yes, sir. I think it's an aspect showing that you can run the ball, catch the ball, showing that you can do a little bit of everything. So, you know, I like to show that in my gameplay as well. So.
Well, Brecken seems to have developed some really good chemistry with receiver Cameron Miners, too. Miners has provided a deep threat this season with 14 catches for 459 yards and 6 touchdowns. So he's averaging nearly 33 yards a catch. Has that combination helped to take some of the pressure off of you?
Yeah, definitely. He's a big target for us. You know, 50-50, they like to throw the ball, too. We'll definitely like to get the ball to him more, you know, say these upcoming games. But he's definitely, you know, a big part of our offense as well.
Let's talk about Friday's game now. Johnston enters the contest with a 7-2 record, and the Dragons own wins over the number 4 and 5 teams in the final rankings, Iowa City, Liberty, and Ankeny. But you guys have already played in some tough places this year. You opened the season at Southeast Polk, and then you later had to go to Valley Stadium to play both Valley and Dowling. So do you feel like you guys are prepared for the challenge ahead of you?
Yeah, I think we're more than prepared. You know, this whole week has been, you know, hard work during practice. You know, we've been locking, we've been executing, we've been, you know, just getting better at the right moments and at the right time. So I think we'll definitely make a statement this Friday.
Well, one of Johnston's losses came on its home field in Week 7, Sioux City East. So does the result of that game give you confidence that your team can go in there and get the same outcome?
I would say it gives us confidence, but, you know, they're Sioux City East is their team. You know, we're Centennial. You know, we can only control what we can do. We can only go out there and show what we can do. So that's what we're going to do, and that's how we're going to play with the mindset that we have.
Well, when you look at Johnson's defense, a senior linebacker, Max Minks, leads the team with 54 and a half tackles. And junior linebacker, Owen Hupfer, is second with 42 and a half, including 7.5 for losses. As a team, the Dragons have recorded 14 sacks. So what have you learned about their defense from your scouting report? Do they like to blitz and take some chances, or do they prefer to stay in their base defense?
They prefer to stay in their base defense while balancing the blitzes at the same time. But, you know, we found some different ways to, you know, find a way around that, but it can't disclose too much. But,
right,
you know, we'll see this Friday.
Well, they seem to be a defense that creates a lot of turnovers, too. Johnson has intercepted 11 passes this season, and two of them have been returned for touchdowns. Defensive back Bryson Quam also has a 73-yard fumble return for another score. So how important will it be for you guys to take care of the ball and not give up any of those easy scores?
It's going to be very important. You know, the special teams, defense, offense, all three phases of the ball is going to be very important for us to make sure that we keep control of the ball, keep control of the game. You know, because if we can move the ball down the field for a 10-minute drive, then obviously, you know, that we're going to control the game, control the momentum that we have.
Well, even if you can get some of those long drives and you don't score, but just taking some time off the clock, that'll help you.
Help us a lot.
Well, you obviously don't play defense, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the challenge that your defense will face tomorrow night. Johnston quarterback Trevin Helming has passed for 1,475 yards and 17 touchdowns, and Emory Jones has rushed for 735 yards and 11 scores. And I know both of those guys had big nights and a win over Ankeny in week 6. So what will be the keys for your defense to slow them down?
I think just the keys for our defense is just to, you know, watch the ball and just, you know, play with effort, play with heart. You know, you can only control what you can do. You can only play the position that you play. So it's a team sport, and just go out there and play as a team.
What do you think if you guys can get the game into the fourth quarter with a chance to win? You know, that'll put some pressure on Johnston, and then maybe they'll tighten up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely going to be, it's going to come down to the wire in the fourth quarter, but it's going to be a good game.
Well, the winner of this game would play either number 6 Valley or number 11 Cedar Rapids Prairie in the quarterfinals next Friday. You know, I think most people probably expect the Tigers to win that one. And if you guys are fortunate enough to advance, you know, that would send you back to Valley for a rematch of your 24-7 loss on October 3rd. I'm sure you'd love to have another shot then, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would love it. Absolutely.
Well, it should be a fun game tomorrow night. I'm going to be over there covering it. So I'll see you over there, JJ. And thanks for coming in tonight.
All right. See you. Thank you.
You bet. All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest is a senior running back on the Ankeny squad, and he has helped the Hawks to a 7-2 record. He ranks second in Class 5A with 1,264 rushing yards this season. He's tied for sixth in 5A with 12 rushing TDs, and his 207 carries leads 5A and ranks seventh in the entire state. He's Daniel Army. Daniel, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Before we look ahead, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the regular season finale. You guys went over to Council Bluffs Lincoln last Friday and rolled to a 61-0 victory that got so lopsided that you were able to take off your uniform at halftime. You had just 4 carries for 49 yards and 3 catches for 63 yards, but you did score a couple of times before you were able to take the rest of the night off. You know, after carrying such a heavy load all season, was it nice to be able to take a break? And do you feel refreshed now going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I feel great. Yeah, it's got, you know, everybody on the team sort of pulled their weight, so it was really nice to, you know, be able to come in the playoffs just fully rested, see all of our other running backs just get some work. Landon Hapton, he did a great job. He had like 2 touchdowns. I think Alex finally had one, so yeah, just everybody get in there. It was really fun to see.
Yeah, I think you did more running up and down the sidelines watching your teammates than you did during the game, didn't you?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, your quarterback, Kel Rausch, completed 12 of 13 passes for 253 yards and 2 touchdowns in the win. For the season, he is now 121 of 188 for 1,517 yards and 16 scores while throwing just 4 picks. What can you say about his development this season and the way he's contributed to the team's success?
Man, I mean, Kel's all for it. So it's just, like, when you have a guy like that, it's like at the helm, you know, just leading us, it's just, it makes everything else just so much easier. Like, he's really smart with how he handles the ball and does different things. Like, it's just, he's just a great friend of mine, great everything. He's really good at doing all that. So, he's a natural born leader, so.
Well, your team earned the number 5 seed in Class 5A and will host a number 12 Southeast Polk now on Friday's opening round. The Rams are 5-4, but of course they are the 4-time defending state champions, and they were in a similar position last year as a lower seed when they reeled off 4 straight wins to capture another crown. So I'm sure Coach Bauer is not, you know, letting you guys take them lightly. Until somebody beats them in the playoffs, you know, they're still the champs, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you said it well. They're the 4-time state champion, so we definitely did not take this week off. We definitely got at it. So I say we're really prepared, and I think we have a really good game plan. Our coaches do a good job of just giving us like the best of everything every single week. So I'm really excited to play, and I think everybody else is just ready to go.
Well, I'm sure you guys are happy to be playing at home, but that certainly doesn't provide any guarantees. You guys opened the season with a loss at home to Waukee Northwest, and then your other loss to Johnston in week 6 also came at home. So do you feel like there's, you know, some advantage of playing at home, or not really at this time of the year?
I'd say there's maybe a little advantage to playing home, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's just, you got to play. You got to come to play. If you don't come to play, it's just that you can actually become disadvantaged if you're even beat at home, because you feel like the pressure's all on you. The best thing that you can do is just not make it like what our coaches like to say. Actually, we had a guest speaker the other day come through and tell us just some really important words. He said it himself. You don't make it bigger than what it has to be. This is a good team coming in our building, and we're going to beat them. That is what it is. It's not the four-time state champions. Yes, you have to remember that, but this is the 2025 Southeast Polk Rams versus the 2025 Pink Eagles. So I think if we remember that in St. George training, we'll say that.
Well, Southeast Polk's only win against a playoff team came in their opener against Hankney Centennial, but the Rams did take Johnston in a double overtime in week 8. And of course, that was after you guys, you know, had lost to Johnston as well. But what have you learned about the Rams defense from your scouting report?
They've got some good guys, I think. I think they're a very feisty, team. So they're like, they're scrappy, like they get after it. Mm-hmm. I'm just ready to hit.
Well, senior Joel Thompson leads their defense with 48.5 tackles, and 4 other players have at least 20 stops. Now, are they a defense that likes to blitz and take some chances, or do they like to stay in their base defense?
I don't know. I mean, I like from what we've seen on film, I guess, but you just prepare for everything, really. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Rams have intercepted 12 passes this season, and Braden Lewis and Jaden Perry have accounted for half of those. As a team, Southeast Polk has returned 3 of them for touchdowns. How important will it be for you guys to take care of the ball and not give up any of those easy scores?
Yeah, I think it'll be very important to just take care of the ball. Braden Lewis is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. We played on the same 7th grade football team. He was our running back, so know him very well. He's a very good player. I think we've got a good air attack, and we'll be ready for that.
Well, I know Southeast Polk likes to play a physical brand of football. You kind of alluded to that. They've had guys in the past like Caden Proctor and Xavier Wampa who have allowed them to, play that kind of style. You know, this year's team doesn't have the kind of athletes that those two guys were, but, I was at the Rams win over Centennial, and they still look like a typical Southeast Polk team. But I know you like to play a physical style of football as well. You know, you kind of seek out that contact at times, mm-hmm. don't you, when you're running the ball?
Love it. Yeah. Need it. So, they're a very physical team, but, they're on every team, we're on every team.
Well, I know you don't play defense, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the challenge that your defense would face tomorrow night. Running back Stanley Cooper and Drew Thompson have provided most of the Rams' offense this season. They've combined for more than 1,800 rushing yards and 23 touchdowns. Southeast Polk has used 2 different quarterbacks, but they have passed for only 819 yards and 9 touchdowns while throwing 4 interceptions. Do you like the matchup of your defense against their offense?
For sure. Stanley's actually a cousin.
So, oh, really? Okay.
We go way back. So, I mean, I think our defense will, I like the health of our defense. I mean, I just feel like our defense is so complete. So I really love that. I mean, Dawson just up front, doing whatever. That's really what we do. We can do whatever. Great athlete. And then on the back end, we got guys like Morris, Frazee, Fisher, all those guys just making plays. So I'm really excited to see that. But I think it'll definitely come down to who can win the line of scrimmage.
Well, yeah, if your defense can take away the Rams' running game and force them to throw the ball maybe more than they want to, that'll give your defensive backs like Mars, a chance to make some plays, won't it?
For sure.
Well, the winner of this game would play either number 4 Iowa City Liberty or number 13 Waukee in the quarterfinals next Friday. Liberty is obviously the favorite there, but Waukee's 4-5 record is deceiving because the Warriors were the only team to beat Waukee Northwest thus far. And you guys are very familiar with both of those teams. You posted a 26-13 win at Waukee in week 2. Did you give the Warriors a pretty good shot to pull off the upset there?
I mean, yeah, they're like another team that is feisty, you know, where they can get after it. They could definitely rise to the occasion to do it. But I wouldn't sleep on those Liberty Lightning, you know.
You
did kind of sleep on them last year, you know, something. It didn't go all, it didn't go right. So really, I think that's going to be a good game. Focused on this week, but next week it'll be good.
But yeah, of course, if you guys are able to advance, you know, we could have a rematch of last year's quarterfinal at Liberty, which of course was won by the Lightning 21-13. You guys also lost to Liberty 28-20 during the regular season a year ago. I'm guessing you'd love to have another shot at them, wouldn't you?
For sure. That's definitely not to like stir up anything, but if we advance and if they advance, that'd be amazing. That'd be circled on my calendar for sure.
Well, I told JJ I'll be at his game tomorrow night. We have our reporter covering you guys. But yeah, if you guys play over Liberty next week, I'll be at that one. And I would certainly look forward to that one. So I hope maybe we see that matchup. When you look at the playoff field as a whole, though, Dowling, Northwest, and Johnston are the top 3 seeds. But there are no unbeaten teams left in Class 5A. Do you feel like this bracket is as wide open as it's ever been, and a lot of teams could potentially emerge as the champion?
For sure. I mean, I think this is a very, like, the top five. Like, if that makes sense, you know, I'm going to say like those guys, like all teams in the top 5, just they can take it.
Yeah.
6 really.
Yeah. Me. Well, they've earned those seeds. So.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like, it's a dogfight. Not as it's been in the past where it's like, you know, these guys are number 1, you know, these guys are number 2, you know, and they will be at the end of the year, number 1 and number 2. But I feel like as of right now, like, I mean, you can see the 5 versus the 1 or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, in the future. So for sure, I think truly number 1 doesn't mean number 1 this year, for sure.
Well, the seeds don't mean much once the ball goes, okay?
Once we get out there, it's just football.
Well, yeah, should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Good luck tomorrow night, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you. Seriously.
Yep. Listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast, and MJ is the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. We appreciate their support. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior libero for the Ankeny Centennial Volleyball Team. She had 12 digs and an ace on Tuesday as the Jaguars swept Southeast Polk in a Class 5A regional final to punch their ticket to next week's state tournament. She currently ranks 9th in Class 5A with 380 digs on the season, and she is tied for 3rd on her team with 35 aces. She is Maya Lee Butters. Maya, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we break down Tuesday's match and look ahead to the state tournament, I just wanted to recap a couple of the highlights from earlier this season. Certainly one of the highlights for the team came on October 4th when you defeated North Polk at the Urbandale Invitational, and that gave Coach Jessica Reiner her 400th career victory. Now, I know Coach downplayed her accomplishment and said that she doesn't count her victories, but it had to be pretty cool for you and your teammates to be a part of her special moment, huh?
Just insane.
Well, your team eventually lost to number 1 Waukee Northwest in that tournament in the semifinals, but you have since reeled off 10 straight wins. 6 of them came in the Westside Invitational a week later at Cedar Rapids Jefferson, where you defeated number 3 and defending state champion Pleasant Valley in the title match. So do you feel like this team is playing its best ball right now heading into the state tournament?
Seems like translating to how we play. And so I think that really helped push us to win and get this.
Well, of course, you've been a 4-year varsity player and a 3-year starter, so you've been a part of a lot of coaches' wins, 125 to be exact. You're a 2-time CIM All-Conference second team pick, and last year you were named to the Class 5A All-State third team by the Iowa Girls Coaches Association. Earlier this season, you recorded a milestone of your own when you racked up your 1,000th career dig. What did that mean to you to achieve that milestone?
Sad to see me being put into that. And so it gives me confidence to go out and do my own thing.
I'm constantly amazed by the amount of balls that you can get to and the way that you can dive on the floor to keep the ball alive. Have you been able to stay healthy this season? Have you ever suffered a major injury on the court?
Yeah, for the most part, I've never suffered any major injuries. I mean, last year there was something during club where I hyperextended my elbow, but that's about the extent of it.
Well, your team pretty much cruised through regional play. You swept both of your opponents for the fifth straight year. After beating Cedar Rapids Jefferson in the semifinal round, you followed that up with a win over Southeast Polk, a team that you had swept just 2 weeks earlier in their gym. So did that win over the Rams on October 14th, did that give you guys confidence that you could do it again?
Yeah, for sure. We played really clean ball that game. And so just doing that again and focusing on the outcome helps.
Well, I wasn't able to attend Tuesday's match because my wife had surgery in Iowa City that day, but Coach told me afterwards that it was a really solid team win, and she added that Maddie Ott had a great night. Maddie had 6 kills while hitting .625 for the match. You know, she really brings a lot of energy to the court, doesn't she?
Yeah, she gets those big kills, and it gets our team going with her energy.
Well, after you guys won, I'm sure you were checking the results of the other regional finals to see how the matchups for state would unfold. Now, for a while, it looked like the top 8 seeds, you know, would all win. And if that would have happened, you guys would have faced a number 7 Valley in the quarterfinals and then potentially either Pleasant Valley or number 6 Ankeny in the semifinals. But then, of course, Indianola rallied from a 2-1 deficit to beat number 4 Waukee. And that moved Valley up a spot to the 6th seed. And that means that you will now play number 8 Iowa City West in the quarterfinals and then potentially either Pleasant Valley or Valley in the semifinals. Now, since Valley took you guys to a 5th set back on September 18th, you know, do you feel like that change worked out well in your favor? Do you like that matchup against Iowa City West better?
Team we would have played on the other side, because no matter what that team is going to bring, what they're going to bring, and we're focused on our side, so it doesn't really matter who we know what we
do. Well, Coach told me that Iowa City West has a young but talented team and that you saw them at your preseason scrimmage. They have 3 hitters with more than 200 kills, leading the way as a freshman named Cyan Blommer with 276. You know, so they have multiple hitters that you're going to have to be concerned about, don't they?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of hitters that they have as outlets, so just focusing on stopping them and playing our ball.
Well, what do you think will be the keys for your team to come out on top? You know, do you feel like if you just go out and play your normal game that that'll be enough?
I think we really have to focus on our side and our own energy and just focusing on what we can control. If we focus on that, I think we can get the outcome that we want to.
Well, Centennial will take the 32-5 record into the tournament, which the Jaguars have qualified for now in 12 of the 13 years that the program has existed. You guys have reached the semifinals in each of the last 3 years. With this being your senior year, I'm sure you'd love to go out on top. Do you feel like this team has what it takes to win it all?
Yeah, for sure. I think this team has something different than other teams that past years we haven't had. We have like 6 great options, and we have a lot of great depth in our bench as well. So I think we play our highest ball, like in practices, against the other side.
Well, if you guys can win on Monday, you would then face Pleasant Valley or Valley in Wednesday's semifinals. Now, I know the Tigers are obviously a dangerous team, so do you give them a shot to pull off the upset there?
For sure, yeah. Any team can do anything down there, so.
Well, if you would meet Pleasant Valley, that's a team that you just played 3 weeks ago. What would you guys need to do if you have a rematch so that the outcome would be the same?
Really focused on shutting down. You know, they have some good hitters, so just focusing on maybe shutting down the outsides and just playing crazy defense on the side.
Well, if you guys are fortunate enough to advance to Thursday's championship match, it would be played at 10 a.m. Ankeny will play number 5 Dowling Catholic on the other side of the bracket, and the winner of that match would likely face Waukee Northwest in the other semifinal. The Wolves, of course, are the favorite to win the title. They're 35-1, and the only team that defeated them, Waukee, is not in the field. Northwest has reeled off 18 straight wins since that loss. Now, you guys are very familiar with the Wolves, who have defeated your team in 5 set semifinals in each of the last 2 years. You know, so do you want another shot at them?
Of course. I don't think we played our best ball when we played them, so it'd be fun to get another shot playing our best ball.
Well, Northwest has also handed you guys 4 of your 5 losses this season. The closest of those 4 matches came on September 2nd at Northwest, where the Wolves outlasted you by winning the 5th set 16-14. You know, I'm sure that match gives you confidence that you can play with them. Well, what's it going to take for you or anybody else to knock them off?
I think just playing, keeping balls up, focusing on shutting down hitters, and just staying loud and crazy on them.
Well, I don't expect Indianola to give Northwest much of a match, but Ankeny or Dowling could certainly be a threat in the semifinals. Your team's only other loss came to Ankeny on September 25th. If the Hawkettes could pull off the upset and make it to the title match, you know, that'd be pretty cool to have an all-Ankeny final for the first time ever, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Well, hey, Maya, I know you've talked about playing in college as well. Have you made any decisions yet as far as where you're
going
to go?
Yeah, we're going to New Jersey Institute of Technology, and I plan to play volleyball there and study business.
Well, that's awesome. Well, hey, good luck at the state tournament. I'll see you over there.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep, you bet. Listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. Legacy Realty, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had senior running backs J.J. Morgan of Ankeny Centennial and Daniel Army of Ankeny. And then we finished up with senior libero Miley Butters of the Ankeny Centennial volleyball team. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And hopefully we'll have a podcast next week. It's going to be pretty busy with the state tournament going on over in Coralville. But depending on how the matches go and when the teams are practicing and when everybody's available, we will try to do a podcast. But I can't make any guarantees at this point. But anyway, come back next week or the week after for the next edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.